Welcome to Single Servings, where we talk about the stories behind specific songs. I'm Oliver Wong. Before we begin, I just wanted listeners to know that today's song discusses suicide in somewhat graphic detail, so some of you may choose to skip the episode, which would be totally understandable. There are sad songs, there are heartbreak songs, and then there is whatever dead is.
Leave me alone. I don't care no more. I ain't got nothing to live for. Since he's been gone. Just wanna be dead.
Dead is a song drowning in despair, sung from the perspective of a woman left forlorn by a former lover. I'd call it one of the most morose songs I've ever heard, but then I would have to explain which version of Dead I'm talking about. See, the thing about this is that there are many versions of it in the world. What you're hearing right now was the nationally distributed single, recorded by Carolyn Sullivan and released in 1967 on the Philips label. However, it followed an earlier version, also recorded by Sullivan, but released on the Dallas-Fort Worth imprint, Soft. You can hear the difference on the main verse. This is that national version on Philips.
With this phone in my hand, I'll try to call my man. And if he's not at home, I know he's not alone. And I'll feel dead. Oh, yeah.
And here's the Soft version that came out first.
With this razor in my hand, I'll remove my watch band. If no one interrupts while I make this cut, then I'll be dead.
Yeesh. Yeah, that's dark. And it's easy to see how someone at Philips may have heard the first version and said, look, this song is cool and all, but y'all got to change that line. But Sullivan was just one of at least a dozen of different artists who all recorded some version of Dead, or at the very least used its backing track. For example, this is Edith Jones, whose version appears on two separate releases, both on the Lacam imprint.
Dead, I wish I was. He's gone. I'm all alone.
Here's Phyllis Brown, who recorded her own version, also on Soft.
Dead, I wish I was. Now he's gone, and I'm all alone with this phone in my hand.
There are quite a few instrumental versions, including this one done by Cuddy Sark, which is entitled Dusty, released on Zuma, which is identical to a track by Paul and Paula, also named Dusty, but released on Lacam. And let's not leave out Irv Jackson and his spoken word flip over the Dead instrumental with Here Comes the Rattlesnakes, released on both Lacam and Meridine.
This is a story you just ain't gonna believe. Now, my gospel group has sung all across the world. But not too long ago, our manager booked us into a little church way back up in the hills. We pulled up in the yard.
This is just scratching the proverbial surface. You could fill an hour of time with different permutations of this song. And to understand how this one track ended up having so many different forms, most of them all sounding mostly alike with just small tweaks here and there, I turned to a friend who knows just a little something about the Texas roots behind this single and some of the personnel behind it.
Hey, this is David Hafner. I've owned the Friends of Sound here in Texas, both in Austin and San Antonio, for the last 14 years. And I lived in Texas for 12 years and avidly collected Texas records and been interested in Texas music for a long time. I first came across the song Dead at my friend Nathan Rich's house. It was the first time I was driving down to Texas in a U-Haul to move here. And he had reached out initially and introduced himself to me. And stopped over at his house and spent a couple of days digging for records. And in the course of hanging out, you know, he introduced the song to me and played the Carolyn Sullivan version. And that was the first time I ever heard the song.
If you want to understand the history behind Dead, there's at least two people that you need to talk about. And the first is the one who is most responsible for the actual sound of the single, and that would be Moses Dillard. Dillard was a journeyman musician and bandleader, born in South Carolina, but someone who moved constantly throughout his career, including stints in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia, and for the sake of this story, the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Ironically, for someone who named his band the Textown Display, Dillard's best-known single, at least to soul music heads, was recorded and released by the very, very Chicago label Curtum. Dillard not only co-wrote Dead for Carolyn Sullivan alongside Joe Huffman, he also arranged the tune, giving it its distinctive sound, something that David Hafner brings attention to.
Moses himself was, for one thing, a sophisticated arranger. You know, they're lush arrangements with many different instruments, and that clearly translates to his later soul work. And, you know, you hear drums, a shaker, you know, all the other things that you don't necessarily hear in the most simple, raw sounds. So it has more of a cinematic quality and, you know, really imbues a feeling.
While Dillard might have been responsible for the infectiousness of that musical track, to understand how that ended up on so many different releases, though, you need to look to the other name that is found in most of these releases, which is one Major Bill Smith.
Major Bill was a record label owner and promoter from Fort Worth, and he owned a variety of labels from McCam to Charay to Soft and Zuma and others. I think he was mostly interested in making money more than anything else, because he mostly put out pop records and had success with pop records. He also cultivated, you know, soul records and was a big part of the Dallas-Fort Worth soul scene.
The fact that Major Bill Smith owned a variety of local labels wasn't unusual at all. You can think of it as a form of portfolio diversification. With his ability to release different songs via his collection of imprints, the hope here was that at least one single might end up becoming big enough to get picked up by a national label.
The general trend in the music industry at that point was to sort of, you know, make a local hit and then license it on to a major label to get national distribution and, you know, create sales. You saw it happening all over the place, even in New Orleans, you know, with ATCO, and Florida with ATCO. These Atlantic, you know, Mercury, Philips, you name it, they were all just sort of seeking out local hits that they could then turn into national hits. And that, I believe, is the sort of, you know, rationale or the reason why you saw things recorded over and over with the same track.
That said, even David acknowledges that the many different pressings of this song using that Dead instrumental does seem rather unusual. And he thinks it might have something to do with the original content of the Carolyn Sullivan song, a dark allure, if you will.
Why it ended up with that many different versions and then pressing them. It wouldn't be unusual for them to record that many versions, but the actual cost involved with pressing them all is odd. It almost speaks to like an obsession with the lyrical content, which might be a clue to the mystery of why it happens, which is that musicians, music people are highly emotional, and this is maybe the most emotional topic you can deal with, which is the end of taking your own life.
Of course, it's not just about the thematics of the song. It's also about how those themes sync so well with Moses Dillard's track.
You really have this kind of contemplative, moody, dark-sounding track matched up with you know, really dark, moody, contemplative lyrics. And together, they kind of create a feeling that you can really sink into, and you can really start to sympathize and empathize with where the artist is at and what's happening. And so the pairing of those two, and the sort of like plotting, you know, nature and the lilting of the, you know, rhythm and, you know, everything else works together on that song in a way that is really appealing to me.
That same idea might help explain why Dead ended up being covered by other artists far away from Dallas. That included the British singer Dana Gillespie, who covered it on her 1968 album Foolish Seasons, and notably went with Carolyn Sullivan's original lyrics done for Soft with the razor in the hand verse. And Oakland's Tower of Power, featuring Cold Blood singer Lydia Pence, cut a cover of Dead on the 1972 compilation Lights Out San Francisco, but used the more palatable Phillips version of the lyrics.
It's not surprising that other artists heard it and picked up on it, especially after it became a national hit. So you see, you know, a Tower of Power, which is, you know, many miles away and in a totally different scene. You know, they were picking up on the same thing and, you know, resonating with the lyrical content. And so it doesn't surprise me that a few artists had to cover it.
Naturally, I had to ask what David's favorite version was.
I think that, if anything, I connect best with the most authentic and real version to me, which is the one with the razor blade. You know, any of those that, you know, really is vulnerable and discusses, like, the actual act of suicide, which, you know, if you're as emotional as most music and record people, you've certainly at least had that thought float across your mind. I know I have.
With that, my thanks to David Hafner for sitting down to talk to me about the history behind Dead. I also want to give a big shout out to Mark Allbones, who was the first person I found online who assembled the master discography, which is growing, as far as I know, of all the different versions of Dead that are out there. I'll put a link to his post on the Soul Source message board for those who are curious. Thanks for listening to this episode of Single Servings, written, produced, engineered, etc. by myself, Oliver Wong. I'll have show notes posted at soul-sides.com, and be sure to check out the podcast that I do alongside Morgan Rhodes, Heat Rocks. Go to heatrockspod.com, or you can catch us on iTunes or Spotify. And to go out once again, here is Carolyn Sullivan with her 1967 hit, Dead.
Leave me alone. I don't care no more. I ain't got nothing to live for since he's been gone. I just wanna be dead.
With this fire.